Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome Dr. Ben Aubrey to the podcast. Dr. Aubrey serves as professor of preaching here at Midwestern Seminary. He has been teaching expository preaching since 1996 and has written two books on preaching, How Effective Sermons Begin and How Effective Sermons Advance. Dr. Aubrey, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you, Dr. Allen. It's a joy to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you in the studio. You know, I should have had you on sooner. I've been doing the podcast now over a year, and I've been meaning to have you on, And now, alas, I get to have you on. So thanks for being here.
It's my joy.
You know, I want to, before we get into the real topic of the conversation today on sermon introductions or how sermons begin, just to, I guess, have a little front porch time and talk about your calling and your ministry here. So I first heard the name Ben Aubrey mentioned by a former colleague of yours and a good friend of both of ours, Don Whitney.
Yes.
And I was in Louisville then studying and serving, and he made the comment to me about how great of a job you did in preaching labs and as a teacher of preaching. And so look forward to meeting you, and had heard that conversation and other good conversations about you. And then God called me here in October of 2012 to come and serve as president, and was so eager to get to meet you and see up close what you do here. And just you're an essential part of our work here, an essential team member with the faculty. So thankful God has you here.
Yes.
Now, you came here in 1996, is that right?
That's correct.
And so you did your PhD at New Orleans Seminary.
Right.
On the preaching then of John MacArthur.
Right.
And then you went from there, ultimately out to Grace Community Church and to the Master Seminary for a season and taught there. And then God called you here in 1996, and you had a Southern Baptist background from Southern Baptist churches.
Right.
So those are the broad overviews, right?
Right? That's correct. 91 and 96, I taught at the Master Seminary, taught preaching. Of course, not a Southern Baptist seminary. So as the Lord worked things out and had the opportunity to come here, that was a dream come true. Not that it was not a dream come true to teach preaching for John MacArthur at the Master Seminary, but to be able to do that at a Southern Baptist seminary was, I really honestly had my heart set on Midwestern. I cannot tell you why. I knew nothing about Midwestern. Maybe it was the fact that to me it was an unknown seminary. And I thought, I'd love to teach preaching there. And then God miraculously opened the doors for me to come here in 1996.
Oh, that's great. And so what led you to write your dissertation on the preaching of John MacArthur?
Well, a bit of a backdrop of a story here. I'll try not to go too deep and get lost in the weeds here. But I heard John MacArthur preach on KQCV, the Bot Broadcasting AM version in Oklahoma City, in 1978. My brother knew the station. He told me about it. He turned it on. 4 o'clock, we heard John MacArthur. He was in John chapter 9, started preaching that narrative, the man born blind. And we heard John preach every word for about 27 minutes. Then when the MC came on to close down the broadcast, I turned the radio off, and I told my brother, that's incredible. He explained the Bible. I'd never heard the Bible explained. I didn't know who John MacArthur. Matter of fact, I didn't even get his name that day.
Hmm.
It was just this guy. Man, I got to hear this guy tomorrow. He explained the Bible. And I had such a hunger for that I didn't even know I had a hunger for that. I didn't know that was called expository preaching. I didn't know anything about this man. It changed my world. It truly did. And so I started listening to Grace to You every day. Matter of fact, I literally signed up for my college classes around Grace to You.
The broadcast.
So that I wouldn't miss it. I was hooked, and it was about expository preaching. So I had this great love and affection for John MacArthur because of his approach to preaching, mm-hmm. which was just genuinely novel to me.
Right. And I have a similar story. When I first was introduced to expository preaching,
right.
it just revolutionized my spiritual life and reframed for me what preaching is to be and how one is to go about doing it.
Right.
So God brought you here. 1996, you've been here 22 years. You teach preaching at all levels.
Mm-hmm.
And again, a signature member of our faculty here. The book from which this conversation is based on is How Effective Sermons Begin And again, John MacArthur actually wrote the foreword to this book, he and Dick Mayhew. So you have this book out, you have How Sermons, Effective Sermons Advance, and then you're working on, is it How Effective Sermons Conclude? Is that right?
How Effective Sermons End. It's okay. About conclusions,
and
yes.
When roughly might we anticipate that book?
Don't anticipate. I mean, it's at least 2 years away. If I can pull together a year like last year and double it up with a following year of the same strength and productivity, it would be 2 years away. That's the rate at which I write.
Sure, that's
it's
great.
It's a snail's pace.
That's right. Yes. Well, but plotting is key, and to continue to push and plot, you'll be there. I guess now moving into the topic of the conversation today, you know, the preacher and sermon introductions. I guess help us to right size on the front end how important the sermon introduction is.
Well, it is as important as the Word of God is important. That's what we're doing. We're introducing the Word of God. That's it. It's not a sermon introduction. We are introducing God's Word. And therein lies the fault of most preachers. In their sermon introduction, they never introduce the Word of God. What they say, the net effect, is not commensurate with the net weight, the value, the significance of that passage that they're going to preach. Therefore, they have failed in their introduction. They are bent, I'm talking about most preachers, are bent on trying to introduce the sermon that they are going to preach. And that pales in comparison with the weight, the value, the significance of the Word of God, which never gets introduced. And so there is this thinking in preaching.
So you're delineating between, in essence, what is a sermon introduction and what is an introducing of the text.
Well, and the introduction of the text should be our sermon introduction.
Right,
so they
right.
really are both one and the same, but I'm trying to differentiate the fault and you know that most preachers have because it's a direct beeline to the sermon that they're going to preach, but they go around the Word of God, and the Word of God is never introduced, and so therefore the introduction is always going to be light.
You know, I tell people when your wife asks you what you're going to preach on, you know, your reflexive response should be a text, not a title.
Yes.
Because the sermon is to be about a text, not an idea, not a few stories, not
right.
a few good illustrations, but it's about the Word.
Right.
And so if your sermon, if your wife asks you what you're going to preach on, and what comes to mind is a title, not a text, and that means, therefore, that the sermon itself is based upon ideas or a topic and not a text, then it's easy to see how the introduction would be an introduction about the sermon and the distinctives of the sermon, perhaps something that's attention-getting, something that's seeking to engage people about what you're about to say,
right.
as opposed to about what the Word of God says.
That's right.
Is that what you would say?
That's what I'm saying. It sounds like I'm straining at gnats here, but I'm really not. To me, it makes a very big difference. We introduce God's Word, and that is so very significant. If we take the line of introducing the sermon, that's going to be a low-level approach. But if we are introducing the Word of God, then that, we can't get higher than that.
So if you're introducing the Word of God, this sermon introduction itself, let's say if your sermon is going to be 40 minutes, 40, just to
right.
use that as a rough number, how much time should you give to the introduction?
Well, that's a very good question. I wish I had a really acceptable answer. My answer is, we have to be pragmatic, and we have to, whatever time we take, it has to be effective time. There are six elements in an introduction that I believe that I've written about. We need to incorporate those six elements. Now, in the doing of that, it's going to take some time. The bottom line is, have we wasted X amount of time, or has X amount of time been an investment? We've got to do what we must do in an introduction to introduce the Word of God through the sermon that we're going to preach. Now, we can go about our business and we can take, let's just throw out a number, 7 minutes. Quite frankly, that can be a 7-minute waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, we could take 5 minutes. Let me work at the opposite of what would be natural. And let's just say 5 minutes, and that could be an investment of 5 minutes. So my answer to your good question is not a percentage. It's not 20% of your preaching time. It's not 5 minutes, and as some would say, never more than 3 minutes. These various quotas I don't think you can introduce the Word of God well by working by a quota.
Mm-hmm. So for me, I preach, as we record this conversation, I preached yesterday at Cedarville University in Ohio, a great Christian institution.
Yes.
Dr. Thomas White's the president. He's a good friend. They're doing great work there. I preached in the chapel hour, and so they have a chapel service kind of like we have. Mm-hmm. Ours is twice a week. Theirs is 5 days a week.
Wow.
And so, you know how that works. You've been in a seminary context for decades now. You come in right out of class. You have class staring you in the face on the back end. So you're dealing with an hour, really less than an hour. By the time you roll it up to preach, you have about 30 minutes, what I had there. To preach here, you have 30, maybe 35 minutes. And so, you're trying to work a text, and this text maybe most naturally is more of a 40 to 45-minute text, a 40 to 45-minute sermon. And you have to make some decisions about how long is this introduction? How much of a contextual orientation do you give? So for me, I was preaching Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, really beginning in verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having to make some assumptions. I'm assuming in a Christian context, there is at least some broad familiarity with the book of Romans, some broad familiarity with the Apostle Paul. But I don't want to assume too much, because what's going on in the life of Paul, the great doctrine of justification he's setting forth, why he wants to preach the gospel in Rome, the influence of Rome, all that matters. So just to take that scenario I experienced just yesterday and to talk from that to those listening to this podcast, preaching is a contextual endeavor. You're making certain assessments and assumptions about how well your people know the Word of God, how well your people know the book of the Bible from which you are now preaching. And so the introduction is essential, as you have argued, to introduce your people to the text, perhaps to that book, but if not to that book, to that text in which you're preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is a segue into a sermon that is more or less faithful, right?
That's correct. And so time is of the essence. If I can go ahead and say one other thing in answer to your question, we have to do what we have to do for the introduction, but we cannot lose... Literally, we cannot afford to lose a second, because time is of the essence. So you got to be about the business of introducing the Word of God, how it's going to be handled in that sermon, and you don't want to lose a second doing that. So you really have to weigh every word and every decision. It really matters, because time is of the essence.
Dr. Aubrey, let's pause just for a moment for a brief word of update from Midwestern Seminary.
Midwestern Seminary's 81-hour Master of Divinity degree prepares you for ministry today and tomorrow. Midwestern Seminary's flagship degree program is our primary track for ministry preparation. Requiring only 81 credit hours, the MDiv program is an efficient option for students, equipping them to serve the church in pastoral ministry. Residential students will be trained in a unique community environment passionately focused on the local church. Online students can earn the full degree without leaving their current ministry context. Come be a part of one of the fastest growing seminaries in North America as we develop a new culture of discipleship devoted to the local church and committed to taking God's unchanging word into a rapidly changing world. Visit mbts.edu/mdiv today.
All right, I'm back in the studio today talking with Dr. Ben Aubrey. We're visiting about the preacher and sermon introductions. So then, time is of the essence.
Yes.
And so you want to allocate time in a way that helps strengthen your presentation of the text. So having said that, perhaps outline for us what a bad sermon introduction might be like. And we'll get to the good in a moment. But give us some pitfalls to avoid. Give us some ideas to be free of. What are markers of perhaps a bad or an insufficient sermon introduction?
Basically, when the preacher introduces himself as a man that does not know the essence of that passage that he's going to preach, because he cannot signify in what he's going to say in whatever time he takes, the net weight and the value of that text, he cannot communicate that. Therein always is the ground rule for a bad introduction. I don't care what he says. He may be humorous. He may say some things that's very entertaining. He might get aroused from the crowd. But that's a bad introduction. He's introduced himself as a man who just doesn't get it. And boy, that reflects poorly upon him. It reflects poorly upon the Word of God, that here's a man who supposedly studied it, and he's come away with a lot of things to parse and decline and points to say and illustrations to provide and applications to give, but he does not understand, he cannot communicate the significance of that message. Yeah. That is always a poor introduction. No matter what else happens, that's a poor introduction.
And, you know, there is a trajectory in that. It sends the sermon on a certain trajectory. And I think about it similarly as I think of sermon illustrations, where a great illustration does what? It illumines the text. It
yes.
helps make the text more understandable,
yes.
perhaps more memorable. A bad illustration doesn't help that cause. A horrible illustration actually undermines that cause, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So you think about introductions. A great introduction actually invites you into the text, gives a basic orientation to the text and to the sermon, kind of in the mind of the hearer presents this is why this text and thus this sermon is important.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. An okay or a marginal introduction doesn't quite do that.
Right.
A horrible introduction actually is a detour from the text. And sometimes you listen to a sermon, and it sounds like the introduction is just like the preacher heard a really cool story that week, and he's like raring to use it somewhere, so he'll use it here.
Right.
And there's no connection to the text.
Right.
Thus, no helpful connection to the sermon.
Right.
So I guess when you talk about a faith or a helpful sermon introduction, you're looking at how well does it actually frame the sermon and the text?
Yes.
How well does it actually invite people into the sermon and the text and
right.
position them to understand it and then eventually apply it?
So that's right.
I guess then to kind of look at this question from the other end, for those we're talking to today who are oftentimes preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, in the business of trying to figure out a sermon introduction, what are some keys to keep in mind to have a helpful, warranted sermon introduction?
Well, again, you've got to get at the essence of that passage. I mean, the Word of God is not boring. The Word of God is given to us to change our very lives, not just our thinking, certainly our thinking, but to go past that, to change our lives. The Word of God is powerful and sufficient, totally able to do that for time and for eternity. And so we've got to get to the essence of that passage. And so we can say some perfunctory things along the way to kind of introduce the subject matter, this or that. But the main thing is we've got to be a preacher that is a must-hear preacher. And that we will be that kind of preacher when we really convey the core, the essence of that passage, not the periphery of it, not the subject matter of it, not some joke that we've heard that's humorous or this or that or some thing that's happening in society that's riveting or whatever. That's popcorn. That's not steak. That's not going to sustain us. That's not going to strengthen us. That's not going to be an abiding force in our life. And that's the common failure of what preachers do in an introduction. They don't get the essence of that passage. They are not a must-hear preacher. Those who hear them as of the introduction, they can say, well, I can hear this man or I can not hear him. And I'll give him a few more minutes and I'll make that decision. Well, that's too bad. The jury's already in at that point. We need to shatter silence right from the beginning, a breakneck beginning, and get to the essence of that passage. And it's like, I got to hear this man. I don't care who the Chiefs are playing. I don't care where we're going to eat. I need to hear this man. I want to hear this man. This is the only thing that matters to me. And if we cannot do that from that passage, we have failed before we ever come to the text. I hate to use these kind of terms, but I really think the introduction is kind of a commercial message for that text of God's Word. Now, the product, God's Word, is perfect. And so, therefore, our commercial message should be top flight. Because look what it's advertising, the eternal Word of God.
So, and well said, well stated. So when it comes to actually crafting a sermon introduction, again, every sermon's unique. Every sermon preparation week is different. But do you tend to do that at the beginning, at the end, throughout your sermon preparation process? So again, thinking about putting the sermon together, when do you tend to give
okay.
attention to the introduction?
Okay. That happens not sequentially. It cannot, at least the way I do it. The parts of the introduction will happen pretty early. It has to. I go my process every time I preach is to diagram the passage and get from the diagram the structure. I know what the biblical writer is talking about and what he's saying about what he's talking about. So therefore, from that, I can get my propositional statement. So that's going to be part of the introduction. That's going to come relatively early. The first day of my study, I will have that. But having that in hand, and maybe at that juncture, being able to discern God's purpose for that passage, I can have in mind the purpose for that sermon. Those things can come sooner rather than later. But then I have to study the passage, develop the passage fully, and even work on the conclusion, and then come back to the introduction. Now that I know this text, I've committed to the things that are going to see the light of day, the things that would be good, but I don't have time. They're not going to see it. I've made all those decisions. Now, based upon what I'm going to say from that passage, now, how can I run this commercial message on this product of God's Word? So the lion's share of that introduction is going to come later rather than sooner. But at least what I'm going to be talking about and what I'm going to be saying about what I'm talking about, that has to come earlier. So parts of it are known as of the first day, but not the essential parts. They come later.
You know, it's similar for me. It's a developing process, a maturing process. You're always have it in the back of your mind. Obviously, again, as much as you're dealing with through that introduction, some contextual awareness, some contextual orientation. You got it early, right, to understand the text.
Yes.
And so you have to. And then it's continuing developed. And then, you know, you want the introduction to be enough to captivate attention, to rightly frame the text, and to rightly point them down a road the sermon is going. And
right.
Once you can achieve those, if you can achieve those, then, you know, you don't need to make it an 8-minute introduction if it can be a 3.
Absolutely.
Or a 5-minute if it can be a 2.
Absolutely.
And so you That's want to it. Accomplish those essential means, those essential ends, and then move forward in the sermon preparation process, and then move forward in the sermon delivery process. So let me do this. Time does not permit us to get too much into your book here, but I do want to tee you up to say a few words about your book, How Effective Sermons Begin. And I just, you know, the distinctives of it, what you're arguing for that maybe is a little different or uncommon compared to many other books on homiletics out there. Obviously, you've talked about the distinct need for the introduction to introduce the text as opposed to just the sermon. So let me just tee you up. Any other word or two from your book that you want to say or encourage our listeners about as it relates to the sermon introduction?
Well, what a preacher really needs to understand is one of these six elements is to have a purpose for preaching the passage. That is a concept that is relatively unknown. A purpose for preaching is not to be faithful to the Word of God, to rightly interpret the text, to all these kinds of perfunctory answers that could come to the question, why are you in the pulpit today? Why are you preaching this passage? And there could be many things that are said that really just state the case that as a preacher, I'm clueless. I really have no purpose. God has a purpose for every passage, and we need to understand His purpose and proclaim that purpose. And we are about not only making clear the truth of that passage, being faithful to the text, explaining it well, illustrating and applying it very well, but to see that change people's lives. And so I don't care who the person is or what the endeavor is. When they have a purpose for what they do, that sets them on a different plane. I mean, a distinct purpose. And in preaching, we really have to have a purpose for preaching that passage. And that's going to have a world of things to do with the conclusion, because that sets in motion what we're going to say in our conclusion. But that's not the topic of this conversation. But so a purpose is a very vital thing. And as I listen to men preach, I can be fair and give him a chance and hear every word. And I can rightly conclude he's purposeless. He has no purpose for preaching this passage. And my response is, what a shame that is. And I talk about that. And that's something that's doable. But you have to know that you need to do that. It's not enough to say some important things to set up the context and make awareness the development of the book and where you are in the book and what the subject will be of this text that you're going to preach. And all of that is good, but what is the net effect? The purpose is not about me, but for my hearers, and not only how I cause them to think about God's truth, but how they are to live in light of God's truth. That is my purpose. And if I get that in my mind, as of the introduction, I become a different kind of preacher than a preacher, the same preacher I would be, the same man I would be without a purpose. It's a difference maker.
Okay. Dr. Aubrey, well said. Thank you for joining me today on Preaching and Preachers.
You're welcome.
So I'd like to have you here at Midwestern and serving together in this great cause, and I'd like today to have you in the studio. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much. It's been a joy. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, please visit my website, jasonkallen.com.